Well, then I'm going to pick one. Let's do hymn number 765, Lord of All Hopefulness. 765. We have another suggestion. We're quiet today. What number? 755. Seven 55, Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me.
Thank you. Good morning. Friends, welcome in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Pastor Monica Wiesner, retired, and I'm happy to be back with you again this Sunday. I will be joining you for two more Sundays, so I hope we get to see you all again. Jesus says, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's promise from the beginning, to Abraham, to the early church, and to the little flock of which we are a part in today's assembly. Faith, God's baptismal gift, trusts the promises of God. Have no fear." Our gathering hymn is 557, "Awake My Soul and With the Sun." I invite you to stand if you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We will sing "This Is the Feast." It's found on page 149. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us be attentive now to the Word of God. A reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy word. You will find Psalm 33 on page 4 of your worship bulletins. We will read it responsively by whole verse. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all humankind. God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth. God fashions all their hearts and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor the warriors rescued by their great strength. The horse gives vain hope for victory. Despite its great strength, it cannot save. Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love, to deliver their lives from death and to keep them alive in time of famine. Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield. Surely our heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you. A reading from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this is one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, He has prepared a city for them. Holy wisdom, holy word. Our gospel and acclamation is found on page 151. Please rise as you are able. Gospel according to Luke. Jesus encourages disciples to invest their hearts and live fully into God's reign. Instead of facing life with fear, those who know God's generosity are always ready to receive from God and then give to others. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them, so blessed be the slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The Gospel of our Lord. I invite you to be seated. Many years ago, long before I was in seminary, the pastor of my then congregation preached on this text, and he said something I will never forget. He said, "Most of us think that Jesus said, 'Where your heart is, there you will put your treasure.' But he didn't. He said, 'Where your treasure is, where your treasure already is, there is your heart.'" And then he took a long pause, looked at us all from the pulpit, and said, "And if you don't know where your treasure is, just check your last visa bill." In last Sunday's gospel reading, we heard Jesus warn against greed, against storing up our treasures in ever bigger barns, and forgetting that one day we will have to leave it all behind. Today, he ups the ante. "Sell your possessions," he says. And Jesus is using some hyperbole here, some gross exaggeration, to make a point, because this was actually a common Middle Eastern practice in his day. But let's place this story into its time and into its place in history. Jesus lived in a country that was occupied by the Roman Empire. In first century Palestine, farmers knew that 90% of their harvest went to Rome. A triple taxation system was in place. Taxes went to the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus. Taxes went to King Herod. And taxes went to the temple. The poor were kept poor, and the rich stayed rich. And yes, sometimes children went to bed hungry. Not surprisingly, Luke's gospel strongly emphasizes Jesus' ministry to the poor. In the prologue already, we hear the words of the Magnificat spoken by Mary to her cousin Elizabeth as she awaits the birth of her son. She speaks words that tell in no uncertain terms of God's preferential love for the poor and for all whose dignity must be recovered. And it's in Luke's gospel that the angels announce the birth of the Christ child to not the religious leadership, but to shepherds working the night shift in the Judean hills. These shepherds were at the bottom of the social pecking order and were not allowed to worship God in either synagogue or temple because of their ritual impurity. And so, if they can't go to the temple and to the synagogue, God comes to them in the form of angels bringing them the good news of Jesus' birth. Again, God's preferential love for the poor. And so when we hear Jesus say, "Sell your possessions," we know that his words carry concern for those who do not have enough for the day. He's not inviting us to become one of the poor, but he is calling us in to live in right relationship with our possessions. And like we heard last week, being in right relationship with our possessions is a portal, a gateway into living a richer and fuller life, what Jesus calls life abundant. Now, these teachings, last week's and this week's, these teachings of Jesus can be understood in two ways. First, what does all this mean for me personally and for how I show up in the world? And secondly, what does this mean for us collectively as church? What does Jesus mean when he says, "Let your treasure be those things that thieves can't steal and moths can't destroy"? Well, to go back to number one, the personal perspective, I learned the answer to that question more than 50 years ago when I first began working as a nurse in the Princess Margaret Hospital in Toronto. It's a cancer hospital, if the name is not familiar to you. More times than I care to remember, I have stood at the bedside of a patient who was being told by the doctor, "I'm sorry, your cancer has spread. There is no further medical treatment that we can offer you." I have heard it said to both of my own parents, both far too young to hear such words. I can assure you, from that moment on, from that defining, life-changing moment, naming your treasures becomes very easy for both the patient and the family. And it's seldom the stuff that thieves can steal. And what does this mean for us collectively, as church and as people of faith? How do we live in right relationship with our possessions? And how do we live in right relationship with our communities, both local and global? Well, consider this. We here in Canada are among the richest 2% of the world's population. What do we do with this knowledge? Do we allow it to trickle from our head down to our heart? Or do we hold it as merely intellectual knowledge? The willingness to part with one's own possessions for the good of others comes from the Torah and the teachings of the prophets. And now the writer of Luke's gospel is saying that this tenet of the faith is to be carried over into the new community of believers, the community to whom he is writing, and what will later be called the Christian church. Jesus tells his would-be disciples to set their hearts on God's reign of universal love. God's reign of universal love. He calls us to go forward in complete, fearless trust, doing our part to create that reign here on earth. And we do that by asking ourselves, what is mine to do? You see, this way the big picture does not overwhelm us. It all looks too big and too overwhelming when we look outside. But when we ask the question, what is mine to do? It makes it manageable. And we see it happening today, you know, in 2025, in the midst of all the chaos around us. We see explosions of God's reign of universal love all around us. Neighbors in Toronto stockpiling public food fridges where anyone can freely take or leave food, no questions asked. And people here, you are loved. Churches opening their doors on cold winter nights, not to convert, but to care for those needing shelter. You are loved. People standing in solidarity with immigrants and refugees, calling on the people that run our country and saying, these are our neighbors. They are welcome here, and they are loved. A congregation in Kitchener, supporting House of Friendship's Adopt a Room program and providing housing, medical care, and community for someone needing shelter. We see you, and you are loved. It is people making space at the table, literally and spiritually, for those that have long been diminished or silenced. When the church has loved well, it has changed the world. The early Christians that cared for victims of the plague. In later years, black church leaders in the civil rights movement that preached active nonviolent resistance. And now, the many congregations that are facing their own ending, but choose to love well as they convert their beloved sanctuaries into affordable housing and supportive housing. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that is truly beyond all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. 764, Have No Fear, Little Flock. I invite you to stand as you're able. In solidarity with all creation, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Keep the heart of your church set firmly in you so that with lamps lit and attentive to Christ's call at any time or place, your people are ready to respond with faithful action for the sake of the world. God of grace, hear our prayer. Worlds were prepared by your word. Speak healing and protection upon the earth, especially where life and habitats are threatened. Guide the work of astronomers and all who teach us about the stars and the galaxies. God of grace, hear our prayer. You know the actions and deeds of the nations. Turn humanity away from instruments of war and violence. Fashion the hearts of world leaders to work for peace. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let your loving kindness be on those in need. Today we pray especially for Kevin, George, Betty, Annika, Judy, Claire, Yvonne, Jeanette, Megan, Henry, Maureen, John, and all those we name in the silence of our hearts. Assure all who are afraid or experiencing great uncertainty that your promises are sure. God of grace, hear our prayer. Calm the fears of migrants and refugees who set out not knowing where they go. Provide shelter, sustenance, protection from harm, and welcome. Bless the work of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and other means of support and advocacy. God of grace, hear our prayer. We celebrate the ancestors in the faith who built their lives on your promises and died having seen them only from a distance, especially Lawrence, deacon, and martyr. Sustain us in our hope of things not seen. God of grace, hear our prayer. Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Let's share a sign of God's peace with one another. Is 689, verses 1 and 4, we will sing praise and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the Lord's table, where everyone is welcome. So come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have strength, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us for this gift. In faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Are there any announcements from within the congregation? I have none. Then stay cool, everyone, and drink lots today. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn, 856, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.